It's Erin,
Karen,
and Juliana, and this is Confessions of a Former Fangirl,
podcast where two former fangirls try to turn a fake fan into a real one. Ladies. I feel like I say that every week.
It's very comforting. It's like how we say exciting, but I was thinking about it today of what we were recording, and I was like, exciting just doesn't do it. I feel like tantalizing is a better word for this episode.
Ooh. Tantalizing. It's definitely, it's going to be titillating, I think.
Well,
for sure.
I mean, it is a part two, so I feel like we can say what it is.
It is. Now.
That's true, yeah.
This is part two of our One Direction episode.
Ooh.
We just couldn't fit it into one.
Yeah, because just because Karen and I have so much to say about the topic. So we felt yes. We needed to do a part
you
two.
And like everyone that seems to like love One Direction. And I think that that's like gonna be really exciting for people to listen to. I mean, just tooting our own horn here, but
yeah.
Well, you know how they say like 10,000 hours makes you an expert at something. I feel like I have put in 10,000 hours into being a One Direction fan.
We put in our hours.
Where did you hear that from?
I don't know.
That's like a well-known statistic.
Wow. Yeah,
should read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. It's about it's about experts. It's really good. Where's my copy? I think my grandpa has my copy of it. I'll get it back from him and you can borrow it.
Thanks, Coral.
It's somewhere. I actually really have no idea where it is. I'll find it.
Wow. Anyways, since this is going to be a part two of the One Direction saga, some may say, this is our first like part two, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So we're going to do things a little differently. We're not going to start with Confession Corner, but we're just going to say, you know, how we're doing. So,
yeah.
How are we doing, everyone?
And how are we doing? Let's just start.
I'm chilling. I'm fine. it's been a long day. I'm a little tired. We're recording this in the evening.
Yes.
But I'm doing all right. How about y'all?
I agree with being tired. It feels like a sleepy day. And also the beginning of a sleepy month, because March is always a little bit like before you get into it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of March. I have a tweet
It's
maybe
your birthday month, Juliana, I know, but by the time it comes to your birthday, like, things are usually fine.
I would just like to say to all my fellow Pisces out there, I am so sorry that this March slander is happening. Aries people, you know what? Fine. I'm also sorry. But mostly to my fellow Pisces, I'm so sorry that this Pisces slander is happening on the podcast. The month of March is great.
Okay, you know why I don't like March? Because I love the spring. And
yes,
March is like a fake out spring. Like March comes and you're like, oh my god, it's March, it's gonna be spring, and then it's still fucking freezing and it will like randomly snow again on like March 25th, and you're like, I just want it to be warm and it's not, and this is the longest month I've ever experienced every single time.
Okay. Yes, I hear you, I see you, I listen to you. I really do. However, my counter is I know so many people that were born in March. Like, truly, I feel like every single person, besides the people that are on this Zoom at the moment, that I know was born in March. And that's why I love it so much, because I'm like, ugh, it's mostly Pisces season.
Yeah.
Bias,
obviously. I do love my March Pisces babies. I love you all. I love March Pisces. We're like, my little cry babies, I just want to cuddle you.
I mean, it's not wrong, but...
I'm just like, it's gonna be okay. My sweet emotional Pisces babies.
I agree with that. I know a lot of Pisces babies born in March. I also know a significant amount of Aries babies born in March, like at the end of March.
Really?
So, yeah, you got both sides of the coin there.
Yeah.
But anyway. I feel like, Juliana, how are you doing?
I thought for a split second you were going to skip over me and I was going to be like, wow, Karen.
After we slandered her birth month.
I'm okay, yeah. I don't know. I just am feeling like I miss New York a lot. And I miss being around my friends. And it's like, about to be my second COVID birthday, and at first I was like, oh, LOL, whatever. Only, like, the strong survive, like, some dumb bullshit like that. But then I was like, oh my god, how many birthdays am I gonna have with this bullshit? But I'm trying to remain hopeful on the Zoom call.
So. Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
And this this will bring me joy. I know it will. Even though I might not sound joyful during some parts of this recording. I know it will bring me a lot of joy. And I hope it brings whoever listening a lot of joy. So.
Heck yeah.
Sick.
Shall we get into it?
All right. Let's get into it.
Okay.
All right. Last time we talked a lot about, I feel like, our personal experiences getting into the fandom, some of, like, the crazy things that happened in the fandom. This time, what are we going to talk about?
Karen and I both attended One Direction concerts, and I feel like we should talk about that a little bit.
Oh, the most, one of the most silly days of my life.
Same. And I love telling the story.
Well, why were they so thrilling? Because I know you both have, particularly in, like, going to get tickets are two different, very different stories, but, like, what about it made it such a thrilling experience besides that?
I mean, it was just, like, it was, like, my favorite people in the same room with me. And I was, like, I cannot believe that they're standing there. And I had just turned 16. My life was going great. It was at Boston Gillette Stadium.
Oh, my God.
And I went with one of my good friends at the time, Hannah, if you're listening. I love you. And yeah, we just, it was like, I did not stop screaming the whole time. I was in full fan, I was full fan behavior. Yeah. And I saw them like kind of at the tail end of their time as a band because it was the Where We Are tour, which is, it was their last one. And that was during the era where like every single concert was put online. And, like, every single moment of every concert was scrutinized and analyzed. Like,
whoa.
And wait, was Zayn still there?
Zayn was still there.
Okay.
They, like, finished the tour without Zayn, but it was not after that. Yeah, so, like, I did that thing where I did film bits of it because I was, like, they had a little part where they, like, came into the audience a little bit, part of the stage. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, fairly close to that. So I could film them from there. And I put it on my Tumblr and I was like, look at I was so close. And yeah, I don't know. It was just like something I had always wanted to do.
Oh, I love that.
And concerts are fun no matter what they are. Like a concert environment is just incredible.
Concerts are very fun. Erin, I actually lied. I want to hear how you got your tickets. Yes!
I love telling this story because it's so silly. And it's just, like, kind of crazy. So I saw them in... Karen saw them... You saw them in 2014?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw them in 2012. So I was a freshman in high school. I was 14. Wow. And it was just, like... It was so random. So it was just so random.
Do you remember that TV show? So, yeah. Anyways, let's move forward.
So I think it was a half day at school. This is important detail. And I was taking the bus home. It was like a Monday. And I was on the bus home and I heard this girl in front of me talking about One Direction and trying to win One Direction tickets. So I was like, so I like took my headphones out and I was like, what's going on? And and she was like, I'm on Twitter trying to win One Direction tickets for their concert at Madison Square Garden tonight. There's this Twitter account that was like, it was a Twitter account for their like merch. And it was called like 1D World or something. And they were like, we're gonna tweet out these trivia questions about One Direction. If you are the first person to answer correctly, you win two tickets to Madison Square Garden tonight. Oh my God. So I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, I'm going to try to do it too. And so they tweeted out, I was like at the ready, refreshing. They tweeted out the next question. I replied right away. And then I won 2 tickets to go see them that night. And then the girl who told me about it also won for the next question. So we went together. Like, we didn't really know each other that well, but we just went. But we both won. So we went together. Shout out Natalie. And
I was going to say, and that woman, Lady Gaga.
And she, and she was never seen again. So we both won 2 tickets. My question that I answered correctly was, who came up with the name One Direction? The answer is Harry. And I think her question was about when they guest, or her question was, what Nickelodeon TV show did they guest star on? iCarly. Mm-hmm. And so we both won. So I went home. I was like, Mom, I just won concert tickets. I have to go to the city tonight. And what ended up happening is her dad worked in the city. So he went and picked up our tickets for us before he drove home from work. And then he came back to New Jersey and then drove us right back to New York. So her, like, dad drove us. He came to the concert with us. And then we had an extra ticket. So he sold it to somebody to pay for our parking at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, and then we went to the concert. Ed Sheeran opened for them, which is cool, which is, like, crazy. Wild. And I was actually already, like, a big fan of Ed Sheeran at the time, so I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And
because Aaron famously knows
I famously know they're things famous. Before they're famous. he was already getting pretty famous at that time, but yeah, and it was amazing. And it was their first time ever playing Madison Square Garden, so it was, like, a really big deal. Whoa. And it was, like, not within a tour. They just, like, booked, like, a single show at Madison Square Garden, mm-hmm. like, in between tours. So it was kind of just, like, a random show, but it was, like, a really big deal that they were there. Yeah, and it was so good. It was so much fun. And we were sitting next to all these other girls who, like, won tickets, too, and we were like, this is crazy. Like, we're here. Yeah.
It was so fun.
And I have some, like, tweets that I live tweeted while I was there. Should I pull them up? Okay, wait. This is my take.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh my god, talk. I'll find them.
No, I was just gonna say, I think that that's also such a really cool part of fandoms, particularly, like, if you're looking at bands, like, that sort of aspects that, like, even though the internet and, like, places like Tumblr are, like, kind of far away from the actual reality of that band or that person or that thing that you're a fan of, it can give you such direct access to get literal concert tickets. Or I'm sure that they do those sorts of things with, like, meet and greets or, like, and just the way, you know, the internet connects the youth. Mind blowing.
Oh, wait, this is crazy. On April 3rd of 2012, I tweeted at One Direction booked Madison Square Garden, OMG, and then a bunch of, like, blah, 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 like, ASD, you know, when you just keyboard bash, which is, and then I got to see them. That's crazy. Okay, wait, I'm trying to find the actual tweets from that day. There's one where I said, Ed just sang Little Things with the boys, I can't breathe. Ed Sheeran was the one who wrote that song, and so he came out on stage and sang it with them.
Is that the one that goes, and I love you, and all those little things, that one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are these tweets not coming up?
It's the one that's very misogynistic, but unfortunately that doesn't narrow it down.
I had a question. I mean, like, unless the two of you want to say, like, talk more about your concert experience, or, like, how would you say that your concert experience, Aaron, was different than Karen's? I mean, I know obviously you weren't there at the same time.
World of difference.
But,
yeah. Well,
like, what was the vibe in 2012 in terms of the fandom versus the vibe of 2014?
Well, 2014 was when 5 Seconds of Summer was opening for them. And that tour was, like, it wasn't the height of their fame in the mainstream, but it was kind of the height of the fandom, I would say.
Of One Direction's fandom, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like they were a little bit older. Zane, I'm sure at that point was like considering leaving, which he eventually did. R.I.P. So yeah, I'm sure it was a different vibe just because they were like older and
okay,
maybe a little more.
I found another one.
Okay.
This was great. Me. Exciting. Updating the world, and it was just it says in quotes, "This place is bloody huge." We all said before that we were gonna cry, and those are just two things that Harry Styles said on stage.
Oh, it's nice. Aww. Can you imagine being 16 or 17 and playing Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, that's
insane.
Crazy.
That's absolutely insane.
Yeah, and that was...
The circus traveled to Madison Square Garden, so on a technicality, I have actually played Madison Square Garden.
And much, much younger than 16.
I was 4, thank you very much.
For context, for our listeners that may not know, Karen's parents were, in fact, clowns in the circus.
Indeed.
And it's my favorite.
And I walked on the little tightrope with them, so.
It's so special.
I performed. Anyway.
But anyway, so enough of me trying
to. Yeah, that was a big moment for them.
These tweets. Yeah, it was a huge moment.
So now that we've talked about, like, your concert experiences, we've alluded to it, or Karen, you've literally just talked about it, but, like, can you explain to me a little bit more about Zayn leaving? And, like, I'm.
It was a dark day.
Hush, gathered over the crowd. What happened with him leaving?
Well, let me set the scene for you. It's
please do.
March
25th, 2015.
It's like a regular day.
In school.
I'm in school. I believe I was in French class or maybe math.
I was in a free period, so I was just chilling.
It was like 11 in the morning.
I thought it was a great day.
It was 11 in the morning. It was. And I make the mistake of going on Facebook, and I see a Facebook post from the official One Direction page that says, Zayn has made the decision to leave the band. And there was this long, like, there was like a little statement from him, a statement from the boys, and a statement from Simon about this decision. And immediate chaos. Like,
they were in the middle of a tour.
Were in the middle of a tour?
Yes. And Zayn left them in the middle of the tour. So the four of them had to complete the tour without him.
Were they also in the middle of recording another album? Or were they not recording?
I don't know, because they did release the album pretty soon after the tour, so they might have been recording and just like had to re-record the stuff that he did. But yeah, their last album Zayn is not on it.
Which
is Made in the AM,
which is funny because the album before that is called
Four
and it is their fourth album, but also then the next album, Zoinks. They only had four members.
Zoinks.
Yeah, zoinkies. And yeah, I don't want to understate how devastating this was for me and many other people at the time. Like, I got that news, and I truly walked around this earth like a ghost for the next week. I was devastated. I met my friend, like, downstairs in the little lobby of our school. We were both just howling like wounded dogs. Like,
oh my God.
We were distraught. It was actually a little over the top.
Yeah.
I look back on it now and I'm like, sis, please calm down.
Yeah. I was at the point where I wasn't like as big of a fan anymore. So I just kind of sat there and I was like, when I read it, I was like, wow. And I was like, I'm alone. Nobody will understand how I feel about this. because like, no one was really... Well, actually, then you know who came into the room? Katie Kane.
Oh!
My good friend. And
friend
she
of the pod, Katie
was
Kane.
Like, did you see the news? And I was like, Yeah, and we were both really sad because we would dance, like, in the theater room to Stockholm Syndrome together, and we were like, this is devastating.
It was like someone had died. That was the way people were treating it. It was also, like, the first time that, because the whole thing about the fandom and the reason for their appeal is that the five of them are such close friends and have, like, such a close bond. Mm. And then to sort of realize that that might not be true, I think hit a lot of people really hard.
So it wasn't, because I think that sometimes the feeling that people, or at least I, the impression that I always get was, oh, like, it wouldn't matter because this person was a big part of the band itself. Like, the physical, like, singing and making of the band. Or it was a big loss because this person was, like, a really great guitar player or a singer or whatever. So it wasn't so much about that, like, the musical aspect. It was more, to the fans, at least, or in the fandom, it was more, like, this person and, like, this thing that we've been sold and that thing that we've been loved so much might not actually be true. So it was more of that.
Yeah. It was like a breaking off of, like, the family. Like, losing a member of the family.
Yeah.
Vocally, I would say Zayn did contribute a lot. Vocally, a huge loss,
too.
Because he was, like, he had that good falsetto.
Yeah, he would do all, like, the super high notes and, like, flourishes on stuff and higher harmonies and stuff.
Which then, like, Harry started doing a lot of that. But his voice isn't really built for that in the same way, so it was, like, a little hard for him to achieve those notes. So, yeah, it was definitely a loss both musically and emotionally.
And it sort of felt like, it wasn't like, oh, no hard feelings, like, we all support. It was like, of course, the statement probably said, like, we all support Zayn in this decision and blah, 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 but, like, literally right after this happened, like, Zayn and Louis started, like, fighting on Twitter.
They got into a huge, very public Twitter fight, and it was absurd. I look back at it now, and it makes me laugh, because it's so ridiculous. So aggressive.
Wait, what was it about? Like, what were they saying?
I don't even remember.
It was something like, I don't remember how it started, but at one point, Zayn was like, why don't you stop being a bitch and, like, pay attention to your own life instead of, like... attacking me about mine.
It's pretty sad because there's a little more clarity about the situation now, and Zayn was just like super unhappy, and he was having, like, mental health issues, and he never wanted to be in a band. He didn't like the music that they made. I feel like he felt really, like, trapped.
And at the time, he said something like, I just want to live like a normal 22-year-old, and I don't want to be in the spotlight anymore. And then, like, pretty quickly after he said that, he started working on his solo career and his solo stuff. So it was, like, a very confusing time, because we were like, well, was that a lie, or is it just the band that is the root of the anxiety? Like, we didn't know.
I also found some of these tweets. It started because Louis started fighting with a producer Zayn was working with, and then and then Zayn got involved and was like, because he tweeted the producer. I don't even know how it started, but then the producer tweeted Louis and said, like, basically, you can't sing and you use autotune, and then Louis was like, Jesus, forgot you are such an in-demand producer. How does it feel to be riding on the back of someone else's career? And then Zayn got involved after that and said, remember when you had a life and stopped making bitchy comments about mine?
Imagine, though, like, tweeting that out for the world to see. Like, Louis used to be so aggressive on Twitter for no reason.
They got in fights with The Wanted on Twitter.
That's kind of hilarious.
That definitely was supposed to be, like, a rivalry, but there was just no comparison.
No. Yeah. Who is The Wanted? Please tell me.
Yeah. So, were there signs that Zayn was not doing well, or was it very much like, we are One Direction. We are a boy band. We are going to do this, like, thing. And they're, like, was it well managed enough that they kind of kept that all under wraps? Or was Zayn very publicly, like, kind of showing signs that he wanted out?
I think I didn't, if there were signs, I didn't notice them. Just because I was, like, 15 and didn't know shit about anything. So I was certainly not going to know, like, I just didn't, it wasn't crossing my mind that any of them were unhappy in the band. Like, I knew they were unhappy about certain things with their management and certain things they had to do and questions they were asked, but it was never like, oh, this person is so unhappy that I think they might leave. But I don't know. Aaron, did you
Well, I wasn't really paying as much attention to them at the time, so I couldn't say. Do think, I don't know, I feel like sometimes when something like this happens, there's kind of rumors beforehand that it's going to happen, but I don't think there was anything, there were any, like,
no
teasers, like.
To me, it felt very out of the blue. Well, I had also kind of dropped a little bit out of the fandom right before this happened. Like, I was just kind of starting to get back into it around the time that Zayn left, so it was like, okay, what is happening? Like, what? This is awful. Yeah. Anyway.
Was that also around the time that he broke up with Perry Edwards?
I think that was earlier. I think, I don't know, though, because I don't remember the timeline of that relationship.
Yeah.
They had so many relationships in that band. I can't keep them all straight.
That is very, very fair.
They broke up a few months later.
Oh, okay.
Wow, he pulled a Joe Jonas. Wait, did Joe Jonas break up with Taylor Swift by text or by phone call?
By phone
text.
Call.
No, it was a text.
No, it was a phone call.
It was a text.
It was a phone call.
No, I think it was actually a phone call. Well, anyway, Zayn dumped Perry in a single text.
I'm pretty sure it was a text, but that might have been someone else, another one of Taylor Swift's exes.
No, Russell Brand told Katy Perry that
broke
he wanted
up with
a divorce
Katy Perry
over text.
Wait, I think it was a phone call. It was a 25-second phone call.
Okay.
She said it on, someone like, else, Ellen or something.
Because remember, he says that. Yeah, she says that on Ellen. And she's like, I got broken up with in a 25-second phone call.
Back when she was, like, had her little country twang.
But definitely, I'm sure the text thing has happened to Taylor Swift, too. It's happened to so many.
Listen, it happened to
females,
me, too.
Female
so
celebrities.
And I'm also famously a female celebrity. So,
celebrity. Famously a celebrity.
Well, speaking of relationships.
Oh, boy.
I just have a feeling that this is going to upset me. And I'm going to say that right now. I'm going to try really hard to be rational and to not be upset, but I make no promises.
Given how upset you are about My Immortal, I think this might hit you a little hard.
So...
Okay.
Obviously, there was a lot of, like, real relationships that the boys were in that got a lot of attention.
Is the boys something that we exclusively refer to One Direction as?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
it was a thing. Yeah, the boys.
Everyone just called them the boys.
Called them the boys.
Like, online, like, if anyone was to tweet, like, something about the boys, one would assume it had something to do with One Direction.
Well,
At the time. Okay. Now it could be, like, anyone. Like, I wonder if, like, BTS stans call them the boys.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Probably. Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's keep okay. That was important clarification. So they all, like, were in pretty public relationships, like Zayn and Perry from Little Mix, Louis and his girlfriend Eleanor, who were together for a long time. Who else? Oh, do you remember Liam and Danielle Pizer?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Liam and Danielle, then
Liam and Danielle.
And now Liam's dating someone who's like 19 years old. I don't know.
She was like a 1D stan. She's a model. Her name's Maya, I think.
Yeah.
How old is Liam?
26? She's not 19. Is she 19?
I think she's either 19 or like 20 or 21. Payne. She's her definitely younger than him.
What's her name? It's like Maya something.
And there was also like Harry and Taylor, Harry and Cara Delevingne, Harry and everybody on
Kendall,
this.
Kendall. Although that was after Wendy, I think.
Harry and Caroline Flack.
Harry and Caroline Flack.
She was 30. Harry and he another was 17.
32-year-old music producer that he dated when he was 19.
So they had like a lot of real relationships, and obviously those got like talked about a lot, and some people were like, oh my god, like imagine like being one of their girlfriends. Like people would like kind of group like Eleanor and Perry and Danielle together, and they were like, they're kind of like a girlfriend group, like and
a group of girlfriends.
Like, you know, like the Jonas sisters. It was sort of like they want, I think the fans kind of wanted them to have that relationship, like of them to all be friends because they were like the boys' girlfriends. And so some fans were like very supportive of that, some were not. And then there were also lots of fans who shipped the boys with each other. And there was so much fan fiction.
Oh my god! Because there are endless five boys, and you can ship any of them with any one of the other.
So there's so many combinations.
So there's like every breed, every brand of fan fiction you could want exists in the One Direction fandom.
So you could find a fan fiction where like these two were together and these two were together, and then one, like I feel like a one that I would see a lot was like Larry, which is Louis and Harry, and then like Neum, which is Niall and Liam. And then Zayn would just like, Zayn would just like be with Perry. Still.
Or Zayn would have like a fan as his girlfriend. Yeah. Like I read that a lot.
Or, okay, but it would be like that in any combination. So there's like,
Okay.
I have a chart of all that I found on, not on Wikipedia, on fan lore, that has like the most popular ones.
Yeah. So the range is like from them just being fun to like explicit sexual contact. I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
And in every like AUs apply here, like people write like
them in
like
high
One
school.
Direction high school AUs, or there are like crossover fanfics between Doctor Who and One Direction. Like that's a whole genre.
So what does that mean? Like what are is Doctor Who going to a One Direction concert?
I don't know. Usually it's like
are they the
doctor
companions?
Picks up a couple of them as companions.
Just a couple.
Okay.
A pair of them. I never saw anything like that, but that's really funny.
Oh my god.
I didn't read any of it when I was actually into either of those fandoms, but in doing research for writing my play, I found one.
That's like, amazing.
Karen, plug your play. Please plug your play right now.
Everybody go listen to Cowgirl Summer. Actually, I don't know if you can anymore, but it should still be on YouTube. I wrote it about essentially One Direction fanfiction.
And there's a part in Karen's very fantastically written play that should be produced anywhere if we can get it in New York City once theaters open. Thank you so much to producers that are potentially listening. Anyways, there's a part in Karen's lovely play that's actually, it's like the first thing that you hear. It's this thing called like Imagine. And there are these, can you talk more about Imagines and like what they are?
Yeah, my favorite thing on the internet.
Because it feels like they specifically live within the One Direction fan fiction universe. Or is that a false statement that I'm making?
They aren't necessarily restricted to just One Direction fandom, but I do think that they are very popular within band fandoms or like fandoms of real people, like as opposed to fictional characters. Yeah, a lot of the One Direction fandom. There's also, like, 5 Seconds of Summer, some emo bands, a lot of Imagines. But, yeah, they're essentially these, like, little bite-sized fan fictions, I guess, where it's just, like, imagine, and then a scenario where you are doing something with one of the boys. So, like, I can't even really...
Like-
pull one off top of my head, but I have a whole list of them.
Like an innocent one would be like, imagine you're at a One Direction concert and Harry like winks at you. He sees you in the crowd and winks at you. Like that's so simple, like a simple one that
I
just
made
up.
I read that was like, imagine you die and get reincarnated as a worm, and then Harry picks you up on the side of the road. He falls in love with you.
Yeah.
Who wrote that one?
Did you write that? Or were some of them, like, actual ones that you got?
No, all of the imagines in the play yeah. are from my brain.
Yeah, there's one.
They're very funny.
Unfortunately, the thing is, like, I hate to admit that. That
they became true. So, like, deranged and unhinged that you, like, couldn't tell if it was real or not. Or, yeah. like there's one where, like, there's, like, you're a worm, Niall picks you up. Or, no, Niall's a worm, and then he's, uh-huh. you pick him up and put him in your ear, and then he is in there. Like,
That is the only imagine that I took that I plagiarized.
And that's then, a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's real.
And
that
so real. You just can't, like, especially tears. The way they wrote it, where it ends with the sentence, he, like, then he is in there. Like, you just wonder, is this a joke or is this real?
I feel like that one has to be a joke. It feels like a meme.
And then there's, like, but well, you know, the thing that's, like, you know, you have to get, like, heart surgery, and your boyfriend, like, kisses you goodbye, and then you wake up and you ask your doctor, where's my boyfriend? And the doctor says, who do you think gave you the heart? And, like, that, and then, like if you cry every time, like, that sort of thing that, like, was super popular on Facebook for a while, and, like,
who do you think gave
2010
you
or even earlier. So then there's, like, parodies of that where it's, like, you have to get a teeth transplant, and Harry Styles is your boyfriend, and you wake up and you see Harry, and he says, who do you think gave you the teeth? And he has,
is that the one where he's like, note. And then he has a swoop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So why do you think those are more prevalent in, for real life people that fandoms, that are the subject of fandoms versus, like, fantasy things or different sort of fandoms?
I think it has to do with the fact that they are real people and there is a world in this mm-hmm. reality where you could do these things with them.
Yeah.
Whereas fictional characters, like, that's obviously mm-hmm. not real. And even though, like, you're clearly not going to bump into Harry Styles on the street and he's going to look into your eyes and fall in love with you, but
technically it's possible.
There's a technical possibility that that could happen. Mm-hmm. Just like there's a technical possibility that he could fall into a ditch and you could be a worm and he could pick you up in his big
yeah, hand. I feel like it's just yeah, I feel like the actual, like, phrasing of it, like, imagine, is just born out of having a real conversation with someone. Like, if you're a fan talking to a fan, because they're real, you're like, imagine if we ran into them on the street. Like, imagine if we saw Harry Styles at a restaurant. Like, imagine, like, you know, like, you, there's, that's actual phrasing, like, and it feels like it could be possible. Yeah. Like, just imagine if that happened to us. And there's that.
That's so interesting to me.
Oh, no, sorry. No, it's okay. Yeah. There, like, is technically a small, tiny chance that it could happen.
That's so interesting to me because in my mind, that is the same conviction I would say, imagine if Hogwarts is real.
But that you have to say, imagine if it was real. Whereas this, it's like, you don't have to imagine if that was real.
That's
because
so true.
He is a real person. You could potentially see him at a restaurant somewhere, walking down the street. You don't have to, what I mean?
Yeah. But, and, like, I don't mean to say, like, oh, imagine if that, like, I don't mean to say that as, like, a demon thing or anything like that. But, like, in my mind, they exist in the same place. And I think that that's really interesting to me because, like, and maybe it's because I'm not, like, as, I haven't spent, like, the time that other, like, fans and things are. And, like, technically it is a real possibility and I don't want to, like, diminish that at all. I just think that that's so interesting.
I mean, I also think, like, most people know that that's not, I think people who write imagines are doing it for, like, a creative thing and to, like, be a part of the
totally.
I'm not as, like, I see what you're saying.
No, but, and I don't think that what I'm, I think that I'm, like, not saying exactly the thing that I want to say, which is totally fine and, like, whatever. But, yeah, that's all that I had to say.
I love imagines. I love the concept. I love the execution. I love how many of them there are.
They're silly and so fun.
Yeah.
They're silly and great, and it's like, why shouldn't we indulge in our imagination a little bit? Like, there is a point, obviously, and this is, like, something we bring up on the podcast a lot, where stuff like that becomes unhealthy and it becomes, like, a dependent thing. But, like, for the sake of just having fun with your friends and, like, fucking around and being like, well, imagine if Harry Styles, like, bumped into me on the street. Like,
and then I could, like, pretend not to know who I think he was, cute. So then he would fall in love with me.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I think imagines are fun, too, because, like, not all fan fictions are self-insert. Like, a lot of fan fiction is about, like, there is maybe a narrator who is just, like, some random girl, and you can put yourself in that role, but there is a lot that's, like, between the boys or whatever. But, like, I feel like imagines are strictly, like, if this happened to you, which is fun.
Yeah. It's a very, like, you are the star. You're putting yourself in the main character position.
Do you all have a favorite one that you'd like to share?
A favorite real one?
Or favorite one that... I mean, I wouldn't
know any off the top of my head.
If
I thought of one, it would be from Karen's Play.
Yeah. I think those are still real.
Thank you. I did a lot of, let's call it research, when I was writing these for my play. And there are ones that just get, like, really weird and scary, like, or, like, it'll be, like, you walk into the room, you walk into your room where your boyfriend, Niall, is, and I can't even remember it.
This sounds so familiar.
Hang on, let me find it, because there's an account on Instagram called Worst Imagines that is very funny and collects kind of all of them together. So let
me see if I can find it. Okay, well, Karen looks for that, I'll tell you my favorite, like, this isn't an imagine, but it's a trope that for some reason was so heavily recurring in One Direction fan fiction that, like, I've seen multiple TikToks of people making fun of this trope, of that, like, the main character is, like, a girl, just some girl, and it's like your mom decides to sell you to One Direction because she needs, like, rent money or drug money or something. So now, like, One Direction owns you. And then, like, over the course of the fan fiction, like, one of them falls in love with you.
You become, like, their slave.
That's my favorite. That's the title of my favorite One Direction song. So yes, Stockholm Syndrome.
But I just found one that I don't even think are allowed to read on this podcast.
Oh my god.
What does it say? Well,
read it, and we'll cut it out if we have to.
I'm tearing up. It says, imagine, it's a hot summer's day and you and Niall are staying at your beach home. You stand from the toilet, but your sweaty cheeks stick to the toilet seat and rip the toilet from the floor, uprooting the pipes and the toilet and everything. Niall walks in and says, oh, your name, you stinky bitch. What have you done? You've gone and made a mess of the toilet, mate, and you run out of the building with shame and embarrassment.
Yeah, there's...
So are you running out of the building with the toilet still attached to your sweaty cheeks? Or,
See, this is what I mean, like,
some of them I've seen, they're just mean to you, like, Niall's your boyfriend, but he's mean to you, and you're like, what?
And that's, like, a part of the appeal is that he's mean to you or something, but this is what, like, I could never write anything more ridiculous than what already exists online. It is just absurd.
Oh my god.
There's an example.
That's,
wow. So imagines are a really big part of, like, the online and fanfiction community, but I feel like we should talk about one of the most important ships.
Of all time.
Probably of all time, of any fandom ever.
Okay.
Which is Larry Stylinson.
Larry Stylinson.
Which is, for those of you who are not up to date on this term, it's Louis Stott.
Freudian slip. Harry Styles.
Louis Tomlinson and Harry Styles. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I almost called him Louis Styles. That's so funny.
Okay. So how did this start?
How does anything start?
I mean, really,
start?
From the beginning, from like X Factor days.
Mm-hmm. It was
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because in the early days, they had a very special friendship. Like, they were just really close with each other, and they would kind of talk about it as well. Like, they, once they discovered that people were, like, shipping them as Larry Stylinson, they would talk about it and be like, yeah, we are Larry Stylinson. Like, we're really close. And we live together.
There's a famous, like, live stream that they did in, like, the early days. Where, like, they would just, like, they would just hang out. And so they were, like, live streaming together, just, like, answering fan questions and hanging out and, like, having fun. So they just had this, like, really close bond right away that people noticed.
Yeah. They just, like, I mean, in any group of five people, there's going to be a couple that are, like, closer than other pairings. And that was them.
Were they the two closest in the band? Visibly?
At the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
The timeline of this gets a little funky, but at some point around, like, 2012, 2013, I want to say, people started taking it really far, or, like, something happened, like, a switch was flipped where they were like, we hate this now.
Harry and
specifically Louis.
Yeah, they were like,
Harry and Louis were like, we don't like...
Yeah.
Yeah, because people... We're like, they are together, like, they are in a secret romantic relationship, and I know this to be true, like,
probably when
their management is making them, like, cover it up.
It like, Louis and Eleanor were dating, maybe, because, like, people would say, like, Eleanor's just his beard, like, he's in love with Harry, this is just, so, like, this is just publicity, this is fake, like...
Oh.
And would send Eleanor a lot of hate.
Poor Eleanor.
Yeah.
So was this prompted by anything, or was it just speculation?
What exactly? Oh, like, people thinking that they're together?
People thinking that they're together.
It's prompted by,
I think, a few things. Closeness of their relationship. They were also, like, very touchy-feely. Kind of the band in general, which, like, I feel like is another reason why people... like them so much, because it was like a very, like, less masculine display of male friendship, and I think for girls, that's, like, at least, like, as a teenage girl, like, you don't see that a lot. I feel like it was, like, just very inviting, and you were like, wow, they seem to really like each other, and it felt more familiar, like, a more familiar way of, like, seeing a friendship, because I feel like girls are more affectionate with each other in friendships than men are. And so to see, like, boys being super affectionate with each other, you were like, whoa, this is so, they're so non-threatening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a girl, like non-man, you're like,
ding-ding-ding! Yeah. They would do things like hold hands in interviews, or, like, sit on top of each other in interviews, and, like, on stage, they would be very,
they would always,
like,
whisper in each other's ear on stage.
They would whisper in each other's ear, Yeah, and they also lived together, like, they were roommates in the early days, so that was, I think, part of it. It was like, none of the other boys live together, like, what's going on here? And then there are a bunch of things, like, once it became people starting to believe that they were really together, they, like, would compile evidence to suggest that they were together, and then
search
after the whole,
Larry,
like,
Stylinson proof. On YouTube, and you'll just get so many.
You'll become a believer.
There's also, like, they'll, like, ask the boys if they're dating people, and you'll see, like, and people are like, look at this knowing look Niall gives to Harry when they ask that, like, stuff like that, where you're like, okay, that's a stretch.
That is a stretch. A lot of it is a stretch. But some of it is a little bit, like, gives me pause, and one of the things that gives me
I love that phrase. Okay.
they have literally matching tattoos. Like, they have complementary tattoos. So, like, Louis, I forget which one has, I think Harry has a birdcage and Louis has, like, birds flying away. They have, like, a ship and a compass, an anchor and rope, and, like, quotation marks and a quote, and, like, all of their tattoos match in some way. Which is like, what's up with that? It could just be a coincidence, and maybe it is, but it's also, like, once people started to catch on to it, and they knew that people were, like, saying that they had matching tattoos, they kept doing it. And, like, that seems
there's also a video I feel like that gets pointed to as proof a lot, where it's, like, Louis and Harry are at a bar, and I think Louis's standing at the bar, and then Harry walks up, and Louis yells, "Boyfriend!" And then Harry, like, shushes him because there's, like, people around. But it's sort of also, like, speculation because the video is so blurry and also you can barely hear the audio. So you're like, this could literally be nothing. And so a lot of people,
that's
like...
famously the Wellington video.
Yes. So that's, like, pointed to as proof a and lot, but you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's also the thing about Larry is it became, like, its own sub-fandom.
Yeah.
So, like, the people who shipped Larry were an entire separate category to the rest of the fandom.
And they're all still around. They're, like, literally called Larrys.
Oh, Larrys. Like, yeah. They are still strong Larry with IE. On the internet.
Oh. Okay.
And they have literal, like, just so much evidence gathered in, like, blogs. Yeah. And, like, online spaces that it's just, like, they've built a whole kind of language around this conspiracy theory that if you're not in it, you'd be like, what are you?
There's also a theory
about
like their bandanas and like bandana colors, like blue and green, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yep, they have like blue represents Harry, green represents Harry because of the colors of their eyes, and like if the other person wears the other color, they're like, that's proof.
Yeah, it goes deep. It goes deep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. That's that is it's I don't it is insane.
It's okay
but
it's to okay. call it insane.
I don't want to be I don't want to be too judgmental. But like that
no,
just
I mean it's a lot and
it is a
I
lot
was,
and I'm oh sorry you go.
Well, I was when I was in the fandom and like active on Tumblr. I followed a lot of Larry blogs because I was like low-key a Larry shipper, but I didn't ever fully believe all of the like evidence that was part of the fandom because it got to the point where it was like, okay, this is confirmation bias, like you were just looking for something that's gonna be what you want to see, and it does it's not always necessarily that, so which I guess is how all conspiracy theories work.
Well, how do you feel? Do you feel the same way about it now, or do you feel differently? Like, what do you think?
Now I think it's fun. Now I'm kind of like, I get it. It's, like, fun to believe that maybe there's a secret thing happening there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's real, necessarily, but if they came out tomorrow and said we're together, I would cheer.
Yeah.
I would be happy.
It's sort of like the best outcome for... like Larry shippers would be if they like do you know Dan and Phil?
No idea.
Dan and Phil, they're British YouTubers and I feel like the fervor at which the like the Larry Stylinson shippers exist is equal to the Dan and Phil shippers. So they're these British YouTubers, they're best friends, they met through YouTube and then they started making videos together, they moved in together. They became flatmates, blah, blah, blah. They, like, basically both became huge because of, like, their work together. And so, obviously, as time went on, like, and they, both their fandoms grew, so much of their fandom became people who shipped them together. But they, like, never said anything. They didn't talk about their sexualities very much, like... And again, sort of the same thing, like people were trying to get proof anywhere they could find it. And just like last year or 2 years ago, they both came out as gay and sort of confirmed that like
there
at one point they definitely were dating, but they were sort of ambiguous about like what now because they still live together. So it's sort of ambiguous about their relationship now. But that would be like. And I remember I used to be a huge fan of them. So in high school, so when I saw that they both came out, I was like, my heart started pounding. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? It was so crazy. So I feel like in a perfect world for Larry Shippers, like a similar thing would happen with Harry and Louis.
And it's the whole thing about Louis and Harry is that people believe that they are being so controlled by their management that they can't come out, and that's the only reason they haven't come out. And that they keep like denying the rumors because they're like, they have a strict image control thing happening. And it's like,
but I just think that doesn't really hold up anymore.
It doesn't really hold up anymore because they're not in a band together. They're not even with the same management. And it's also like, to a certain extent, yes, management controls what you do, but it doesn't mean that you have no autonomy as a person.
Yeah, and I also think that like a person's decision to come out and like a person's journey with their sexuality is something that is like very personal, and like no one deserves the right to know unless that whoever's coming out gives that to them. Like it's not really any of our business. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And I guess my question is like, how much of an effect did this have on Louis and Harry? I mean, obviously we don't know them personally, but like it was a thing that they knew about and then and liked and then didn't like. So was it like a sort of a thing where it was like, no, they definitely saw some stuff that like they probably shouldn't have seen and people definitely took it too far? Or was it like, oh, it's kind of joking?
I don't know. I think in the end it probably hurt their friendship.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think they're friends today.
Oh, really?
No. And it got to the point where, like, it affected them so much when they were still in the band that they wouldn't, like, even stand next to each other. Like, they did not interact at all.
Which sucks.
Which, again, Larry Shippers say that that's management and that they weren't allowed, but who knows what really happened.
Maybe they're just uncomfortable because, like, when you have people, like, trying to be... Because the thing that it seems like to me is that it seems like there were a group of people that wanted this to happen and, like, maybe it's a stretch for me to say, like, felt underrepresented at the time, didn't see, like, enough queer representation or whatever. And so kind of, like, not necessarily forcing that narrative on somebody else, but like, kind of saying, like, putting a magnifying glass on something that they might have not been comfortable with. So I just want...
That's a big thing.
Yeah. And not just because... Not because they're uncomfortable with like the idea of being queer, but just uncomfortable in the fact that like they might have not explored their sexualities yet, and like especially for Harry at such a young age, at like 16 from 22, like that's like the time when you're figuring it out, and like you still figure it out, and he still gets questions about that all the time. So I'm wondering, like, is it an ethical thing?
I don't know. That's a big question within the fandom as well, and I think a lot of people defend it by saying, well, because there are a lot of, like, queer people who are Larry Shippers who really believe that, like, this is important for them as queer people, and that, like, Louis and Harry are being repressed in this way. And I completely understand, like, wanting to see that and wanting to be validated in that way. And their argument is, like, well, it's not actually hurting them because they don't have to engage with it. Like, let us just believe what we want to believe, because there's enough of a separation between us and Louis and Harry that it doesn't actually matter. But there unfortunately are those people who like send them Larry content and like fan art and fan fiction, and so I'm sure that they see it a lot more than they want to. So that that's an ethical question that I don't really know how to handle.
It sort of reminds me of what happens with Shawn Mendes, where a lot of people just, and this is sort of kind of for no reason, just think that he is gay. And technically it doesn't like hurt anybody to be like, oh, I think that person might be gay. But like he has had to address it so many times and just be like, I'm not, like, like, I'm not offended, but I'm just not. Mm-hmm. And, like, it comes to a point where it just, like, it does affect his personal life.
Yeah.
And it probably makes him question his sense of self. Like, do I really know myself? Because all these people seem to think that they know who I am. Mm-hmm. But I thought I knew who I was, but, like, you know what I mean? So it's, like, the thought of it doesn't, like, just me thinking someone was gay, like, doesn't hurt that person. If I'm just thinking it to myself, I'm like, oh, maybe I think this about this person. But it's like, and obviously we know, like, being gay is not a bad thing. But if somebody is not, like, and you keep saying they are, like, what, you know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to put into words, but.
Well, I think it's a thing of, like, it's a weird, like, I guess power complex thing is the wrong word to use for it, but it's like a, I know you better than you know yourself, and just wait for the rest of us, or I can see right through you, and you're like, I'm not hiding anything, you know?
Yeah.
And also, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's one thing if one person says that to you, okay, but if you're getting all of these messages all the time, all day, from people all around the world, at a certain point, it's going to just be exceptionally overwhelming.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Think there's a very fine line between, like, queer people just innocently wanting to see representation and, like, have that for themselves. Because I, as a queer person, understand that. Like, that is definitely, there's an appeal there. But when it becomes, like, so I think for Louis and Harry, it was less, like, the fact that they were both men and being shipped together, and more that people were just so insistent that they weren't with their girlfriends, like, that their real relationships were fake, that it was, like, that does get to you at a certain point. And if you send, like, someone who you're actually in a relationship with a lot of hate, and, like, you're fake, you're a beard, like, that's not... That's awful.
Yeah. And especially if you're, like, friends with somebody and you're, like, there's, like, a weird tension, or, like, you're, like, I don't know what's going, like, it, and there's, like, not a, it's just, like, that's awful, you know?
It's a weird thing. It is. I don't think it affects them at all anymore. Like, it's kind of in the past at this point.
Yeah.
So.
But, anyway, I will binge watch Larry Silence and Proof videos.
Me too. There are, listen.
They're so entertaining. Just to, you watch a few and you're like, hold up. Maybe this is real.
Just to absolutely negate everything I just said. Some of those videos
are very convincing.
Like, this could have actually been real. Like, I'm not going to do anything about it, but.
It's also just
like, there's a difference between, like, seeing, like, this might be, like, and it's also, like, queer, like, some queer, like, that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a difference between, like, watching videos for fun and, like, if not anything else, of just to see, like, a cute friendship of people that
are, it's
like,
also, like, nostalgic, whatever. And you're like, oh my god, like, they were such good friends.
There's a difference between that and, like, just crossing the line, you know what I mean?
Ship Larry in the comfort of your own home. And not on the internet.
Don't involve them. And honestly, that can be applied to a lot of fan activity. Do it in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, with a closed computer and a turned off phone.
Incognito.
And stop shipping incest. That's what I'm going to say on this podcast. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Title of ep. Stop shipping
and
incest.
And just,
One Direction Part 2.
And, this, I just also want to add this since, while we're still talking about ships. I didn't know this existed, but I think it's hilarious, is that apparently there was a ship between Harry and Marcel, which is the character he played in their music video for Best Song Ever. So they basically shipped Harry with himself.
With himself.
That's good content. That's really funny.
It's very funny. It's like Harry in a pair of glasses.
Yeah, with like slicked back, with like gelled slick back hair and like a sweater vest. And like a weird American accent.
I do also want to say, Larry shippers write some of the most engaging fan fiction I've ever come across. I read a fan fiction where it was Louis and Harry and Niamh, which is Niall and Liam, and Niall got cancer and died. And it was the saddest thing I've ever read in my entire life. I wept.
Should we do that one for the Fanfic Friday?
We might have to. It's called Room 317.
Stop it.
Insane.
Oh my god.
Wait, also, can I ask another quick question about Harry Styles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a big thing within Lay fandom is the eras of Harry.
Oh, this is important.
Yes, yes, yes. Huge.
So the eras of Harry.
Yes.
I hear you guys talk about this all the time. It feels like.
Yeah.
Well, what you have to understand is that Harry Styles now has his own completely separate fandom from One Direction.
Tis true, tis true, tis pity, tis true.
Because
some Shakespeare.
He is
the most successful solo career out of the five of them.
Yes. The eras of Harry are really based on his hair.
They're mostly based on his hair.
Love. Like, you've got, like, Fetus Harry, which is his, like,
when he scraggly, first auditioned for X Factor.
Yeah, like, curly swoop.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, frat boy Harry.
Yeah.
Which is...
very important era. Where
ears perked up.
He would wear, like, these, like, not wife beaters, but, like, jerseys and, like, cut-off, like, tank top
things. And, like, bandanas.
Yeah, and then he kind of had his hair, like, swooped back like this, and would wear bandanas.
Yeah, I feel like there was sort of, like, preppy Harry when he was in the first kind of two albums, when they were really being styled a certain way, and they were all kind of preppy.
Yeah.
And that was sort of a longer, his hair was just, like, very curly, just, like, sitting on top of his head, swooped to the side.
The classic, like,
beautiful. I feel like frat boy Harry also, it was at the same time, was when he was 19, I believe, and people will always talk about, for some reason, 19-year-old Harry. Yeah. I don't know why people have just, like, a fixation on the year when he was 19. Like,
I think that was, like, the band was really popular, and they were all really successful, and, like, still loving it.
Like, so I saw a TikTok once where it was like, this is Harry Styles when he was 19. Can you imagine if there was a boy you went to college with, like your freshman year of college, who looked like this?
Listen, and that's, okay, yes, we'll get to that, because moving on from frat boy Harry, there's Prince Harry. Which Prince is like, Harry. he started growing out his hair, but it was like not quite long yet. It was like shoulder
probably
length,
probably like shoulder length. Like, hit the shoulders. So people...
And he was also, like, kind of still wearing bandanas, but it was, like, falling in a way that made him look like a Victorian prince.
Yeah, people thought he looked like a prince.
So that's called Prince Hair Harry. And then, when his hair was, longest it was, which was actually only a little bit shorter than mine
is now. It was collarbone length, probably. A little longer. Mm-hmm.
That is long hair
Long hair Harry.
And long hair Harry is my favorite Harry Styles era. Because he looked so good, he looked so pretty, and he was also just, like, that was when he was kind of over the way that the media was portraying him, and he would just be, like, kind of scary. Like, long hair Harry would, like, hurt you.
But, like, in a sexy way?
In, like, a sexy way. Whereas, short hair Harry is, like, treat people with kindness, ass bitch,
gonna actually respect you or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And then he didn't cut his hair until after One Direction went on hiatus, right?
He cut it for Dunkirk.
Yeah, so after the long hair Harry is Dunkirk Harry. And this is post One Direction.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he cut his hair for Dunkirk. So his hair was really short, like really neat. The curls were like not there. It was always kind of slicked back. And that's Dunkirk Harry, and, like, that era, he's, like, very polished. He was doing Dunkirk and doing Dunkirk press, so he's, like, constantly just, like, in suits with, like, really nice hair.
Oh,
really polished. Really that so that's, like, well. Dunkirk Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after that is kind of, like, current day Harry, like, fine line Harry, which is, like, his hair's a little bit longer, but not to the length that it was. And then now he's in Don't Worry, Darling, which means he, like, cut
his
hair.
Oh, my God, yes.
So,
bitch. I'm so excited. Pictures of him.
I'm so excited. Oh. I don't know what I'm going to do when I see that movie. I'm going to go insane.
I don't know what we will do.
Apparently, Florence Pugh delivers a performance.
Of course. She always does.
I can't wait.
What I wanted to say about Long Hair Harry is that he was 21 during that era, which means that he would have been like a junior in college. Can you imagine?
It's just crazy to think about.
Like, our junior year, and somebody who looks like Harry Styles is going to school with us.
Impossible. What would you do, Karen? What would you do?
I don't even know. The boys we went to school with?
Trash them, Karen.
I'm so sorry, but
call them out.
They're not up to par.
Well, we also... Anyway, always...
I'm also, like, gay, so... is important to mention here.
We also went to a very small program, so by the time we were juniors, we were like, you know what? Been there, done that. Or at least our friends had been there and done that, so... Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, I just wanted to ask about the eras of Harry.
That's a very important question.
Do you guys have anything else we need to talk about on the doc?
I mean, honestly, we covered so much.
I don't know. I think we covered most of it.
Producer Laureate Madeline is like making gremlin faces over there.
She's like, we need to be done.
Yeah, no, we can be done.
We can be controversial.
Do you feel satisfied with the amount that we've talked about One Direction? Do you feel as though we've covered everything?
I mean, I could keep talking, but...
I could keep talking forever, but I think we should... I think this is a good place to stop.
Good place to land.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what that means, folks. It's time for Controversially Yet Brave.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Who would like to go first?
Let me think. I think I can.
Okay.
I don't think it's that controversial. Mm-hmm. It could be. Controversially at Brave, I still think their music is great.
Say that. Say that.
Love their music.
I love do too. It. Thank you.
Guys, yes. You guys.
That is literally not what I thought you were going to say. What did you think I was going to
say? Were you going like, to think their music sucks?
No, listener, I just want to let you know, Erin was poised, angled, looking away from the camera, and she was like, I just think that turns to the camera fully. Their music is amazing.
Well, okay, I have a confession to make. One Direction was my number one Spotify artist for the year 2020.
Thank God.
There's this playlist that somebody on TikTok made called Every One Direction Song Ever, and she put it in, like, a specific order that she, like, wanted them to be in, and so I just listened to it on shuffle, like, all summer in 2020.
Yeah. I have that playlist, my own version of that playlist.
Yeah, and... I don't know. I love their music. I just do. Like, obviously some of it is not great, and a lot of the lyrics can be questionable, but I love it.
But for
I love
the
four.
Album, like, it's so really good. And even Made in the AM, like, yes, it's missing Zayn, but they had evolved at that point.
Let me just also say... Me too. Why is the album called Made in the AM and not Made in the Morning?
I don't know. I hate that title.
I don't fucking know.
That Made in the
There's
Morning.
There's a song called Made in the AM, and I don't
also,
know why it did that.
I don't know if this is controversial. I think... Wait, which one was... Up All Night is better than Take Me Home.
That is controversial.
Up All Night is their first album. Take Me Home is their second. I think Up All Night overall is better. Anyway.
But. I'm shocked. I don't agree, but I respect that.
Okay. I might say one that is, like, truly controversial.
Please do.
And certainly Brave. And that statement is, I don't think I regret not being a fan.
Wow.
But... It's only because
we failed.
I love talking.
We failed in our mission statement this week, Karen. We didn't turn a fake fan into a real one.
It's don't.
The end of the podcast.
It's just because I think that I would have been a bad one. So I'm like, I don't. You know what I mean? And also, I've had such a good time recording these, and I don't think I would have had as much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And. I also personally, this is like a little side note. Mm-hmm. I think that Simon Cowell should have done a better job protecting them.
Oh, yeah.
Simon sucks.
Especially in terms of, like, I'm sorry, but if you are managing a band where a 17-year-old is dating a 30-year-old, like, that's just, like, child grooming at that point.
Yeah.
But if you have teen in your age at all, you should not be dating anyone that's older than 25. Yeah, I'm sorry. No, and even that is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
And I get it. It happens in Hollywood all the time. And it, like, it specifically happens with, like, young women dating older men that we see, or at least that I've seen. And I just think, I mean, call me a prude or whatever you want to call me, but I just think it's, like, it's really inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And it's a failure of people that are supposed to protect you.
Yeah.
So. And it was definitely a conflict of interest too when he dated Caroline Flack, because she was like a host on The X Factor.
100%. She's a very powerful British host, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not that Simon Cowell didn't know that. I mean, I don't know obviously what he did, but I just think that it's like, if you're going to mentor people like that in the industry, you have to sit them down and be like, people are going to try and pull shit with you, and it's like, you need, I just feel like if you're going to mentor people like that, you need to prepare them for things that could happen.
Yeah.
And protect them.
Yeah.
It's just as like,
I would agree with that. And who knows how it has affected Harry in his life now, but mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have a controversially at Brave.
go.
Which is controversially at Brave. I think the way that Zayn left the band was really fucking shitty, and he shouldn't have done it the way he
Call
did it.
Call him out!
Because, like, he left in the middle of the tour. He left them hanging to just finish the tour by themselves. Mm-hmm. He then later claimed that he never liked any of them. Essentially, he was like, I was never friends with Harry. We never talked.
Yeah.
He said he didn't like the band. He didn't like their music. He shat on them constantly. And then there was something else that was, like, really... Oh, yeah. Okay. So, Louis's mom passed away in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Which was, like, right after the band went on hiatus, aka broke up. And he had just released, like, a single with this new producer and was going to be performing it for the first time live on X Factor. And this was, like, only a few weeks after his mom died. So he invited all of the band to come watch him perform and, like, support him. And Harry, Niall, and Liam showed up, and Zayn told him he was gonna come and didn't come. So, like, I don't know what happened there, but it feels like he's just kind of being an asshole at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I just think it was... I don't know. I understand he had a lot of issues with being in the band, and I don't mean to, like, belittle the mental health aspect of it, but there's also other people who are affected by it. So, that's my controversially at Brave.
Zayn, do better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one thing I will say, based on our conversation last week, is that it sounds as though if they were on this constant grind, basically, of record an album while you're touring, like, wait for that album to get, or the album's getting finished while you're touring, mm-hmm. do press for it when you're done, sell tickets to an album, learn the choreography and learn all the stuff for that tour, then you go on tour and then you start recording again. To me, it does make sense that he left in the middle of the tour, even though that sucks, because then the process just starts all over again, and then he has to record another album. And if he wasn't happy for, like, a couple years, he might have been putting off leaving the band, and, like, they just said, just do one more album, just do one more, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he might have just been at a point where it was like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to say about the friendship thing, I think that One Direction is certainly not the only performers or, like, performing entity that, like, the friendship is kind of what sells it. Like, think about Queer Eye. Everyone was like, oh my god, they're all best friends, and, like, we love them, and blah, blah, blah. And then Anthony and Karama were like, yeah, we hated each other during the first season. We had to basically pretend so we could sell this friendship. And also, what age was he when he left the band?
22, I think. 21, yeah. Maybe.
So I can empathize and I feel like that's all a lot for a 22-year-old. In terms of the X Factor performance, that's fucking bullshit. Like, that's just... Yeah. Unkind, yeah, and awful. And I also truly am learning all of this today and kind of talking out. So I'm like, you can take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt, but I can kind of see where he's coming from. Another controversy.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. Like, I'm positive that it was a really bad situation for him. So I know, like, him leaving is not what I have a problem with.
Yeah.
I have a problem with, like, what he did after, and then also, like, kind of the way that he left them hanging and didn't really, like, try and resolve any of that. But what's done is done. It's 2021. they've all moved on.
Yeah.
Zayn has a new album, so
and I guess... And a new baby.
And a daughter.
Three of them have children. What the fuck? Where is he?
All right, friends, that's it for today's episode. Special thanks to our producer, Laureate, Madeline Parks. We're trying out new names for Madeline. You know, just let us know what you like. And our music producer, Kiara Negroni. You can follow us on Instagram at @formerfangirlpod and on Twitter at @formerfan_pod. And you can email us at formerfangirlpod@gmail.com.
You can find me, Erin, on Instagram and Twitter at Erin Browning with an extra G on the end.
You can find me, my name is Karen, at at K Jessica Stewart on Twitter and Insta.
As if your name was something else. As if you literally got the certificate to change your name in the middle of the podcast.
Listen.
Anyways, and you can find me, my name is Juliana, on any social media platforms at Juliana Mance. That is at GIULIANAMANC. And you can find the professional stuff on my website. I promise I'm professional sometimes. www.julianamancini.com. That is www.GIULIANAMANCINI.com.
Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.